It's Morning Edition on WNYC. I'm Richard Hake. What if I told you that a state Senate race west of Albany, way out in the country, miles away from New York City, may have had an effect on the rents you pay in Manhattan or Queens? Well, the details of that Senate race, one of the most expensive in New York history, is part of a recent investigation by ProPublica and The Real Deal that looked at the millions of dollars New York City developers give to upstate candidates and why. Joining us now is one of the reporters of that story, Cesare Podkul with ProPublica. Cesare, good morning.
Thanks for having me.
So tell us more about this Senate race. Who did real estate developers give money to and why they do it?
So the reason this state Senate race mattered so much is because Republicans have for years controlled the state Senate, and they've used that position to prevent any bills reforming or strengthening state rent laws from getting a vote on the floor of the Senate. Blocking pro-tenant bills is very important to the New York real estate industry, so they've traditionally supported Senate Republicans by donating money to them to help keep the Senate in Republican hands, which is why the 46th state Senate race west of Albany was so important in 2012. So there was a Republican in that district, George Amador, who was basically sort of a shoo-in candidate who would, you know, win the seat for the Republicans and help them keep the entire chamber in Republican control. And what ended up happening was a relative unknown ended up entering the race, a sheep farmer named Cecilia Kachik, and she ended up getting traction. So, you know, we actually saw some emails where the Real Estate Board of New York actually asked its members to contribute $25,000 apiece, and we traced some of that money going to the Republicans and then to Amador to basically help him fight against Kachik. Eventually, she did win, and to kind of make matters worse for the real estate industry, she was also well-versed in rental laws because she used to work in affordable housing. Uh-huh. So in 2014, when she came up for re-election, they heavily targeted that district to eliminate her and with almost surgical precision, you know, dropped lots and lots of money to help Amador win, and he did.
So did you find any connection between when developers gave money and legislation in Albany?
Yes. What we found was that pro-tenant bills did not get to see the light of day in the state Senate, while lawmakers who took real estate money were quick to either block reforms sought by tenant advocates or propose, you know, pro-landlord bills that would get voted on in the Senate. The most striking example of this was State Senator Kathy Young. She represents a rural district that's so far upstate that it's actually closer to Cleveland than it is to Manhattan. She wasn't getting much money from the developers we tracked until 2011. That's when she became a chair of the Senate Housing Committee, and immediately tens of thousands of dollars came pouring in from developers like Glenwood Management, and she began introducing, we noticed, you know, bill after bill after bill to weaken rent laws. Some of these bills were so narrowly tailored to tenants in New York City that provisions of one of them would actually impact only one building in Manhattan where tenants had recently won a legal victory against their landlord in court. Young's bill would have vacated the impact of that victory. It did pass the Senate. It died in the Assembly. But it just goes to show you that's the kind of bill that you can get through the Senate.
Okay, so for your story, how did you choose which developers to focus on?
So there's a big tax break known as 421A, which you may have heard of. That's very important to real estate developers in New York City. It basically forgives most of their real estate taxes in exchange for providing housing that's rent stabilized and in some cases affordable units for tenants. So we first identified the top 60 developers who build rental housing in New York City, and then we looked at how much money they were contributing via the LLCs that own the buildings as well as individuals. It was a painstaking process, matching all the LLCs and the executives to their parent organizations, and it took months. But eventually, we identified about $21 million in contributions to state candidates and party committees, and that accounted for about a fourth of the total money that the real estate industry has given to state politicians.
And we have to say that these contributions are not illegal, right?
Right. There's nothing wrong with it because there's a loophole in campaign finance laws known as the LLC loophole, which basically anyone who owns an LLC can give vastly more money to a state politician than a corporation would. So if you're a company or even an industry that happens to own a lot of LLCs, you can basically give unlimited sums of money. And the real estate industry, you know, just happens to own a lot of LLCs through which they own their buildings. So the loophole fits them like a glove.
Governor Cuomo has been talking a lot about ethics reform in Albany. Are there any proposals to close the LLC loophole?
Yes. So that's one of the proposals that he unveiled when he discussed his budget. But keep in mind, that's not really news in the sense that, you know, there's all sorts of proposals that have been proposed over the years to close the LLC loophole, and it's never happened. So I'm from Chicago. It's sort of like rooting for the Cubs, right? Every year they have a statistical chance that it might happen, but, you know, it might take 108 years. So that's kind of the way it stands.
Cesare Podkul is a reporter with ProPublica. He reported this story with his colleague Derek Kravitz and with Will Parker from The Real Deal. You can find a link to the story on our website, WNYC.org. Cesare, thanks a lot.
Thanks for having me.